be a little warmer. Malik Collins, Browns defensive tackle, expected to join us sometime after practice, maybe a little after 11:30, something like that, noon, in that range. And Andrew Siciliano, radio man for the Browns, going to join us at 11 o'clock. Chris Rose doing preseason TV for the Browns coming up at 1 o'clock. Martin Emerson out for the season, torn Achilles yesterday, Andy, and it's the worst kind of an injury that you see on a football field of a guy who doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was no contact on this play. It's, you know, we saw the same thing with Deshaun Watson. You don't get hit. You move to step, and all of a sudden your Achilles goes, and there's that dreaded pop that you can actually see, and that's never a good thing. And now the Browns are in a situation. First, let's go Browns on this. Browns are in a situation where they've lost a second starter on defense, with Jordan Hicks being the other, assuming he was going to start again at linebacker. So they're down two of their 11 starters on defense, Andy.
You know, it's just it's a game of attrition, and that's the hard part. And you go back and talk about the injury for a second. It's such a weird injury too, right? There's no contact, and it's almost like, I don't understand how it happens. It's just, and we see it in basketball, you see it in football, and you're like, wow, what? It's like
it doesn't take much.
No, and it's the lampshade effect, and when you actually see it happen to somebody from the outside of the skin, you're like, oh my God.
You saw it with Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
When Aaron got hurt.
You know, I don't even, like, how do you even get into preventive maintenance on that kind of an injury? It's hard. What do you keep working it out? You gotta, and maybe if you work it out too hard, you increase the chance. I'd love to talk to a doctor about it at some point. But I just it puts the defense in another spot where if you're gonna have an injury like this, and if there's a little blessing to it, it happened now, right? You don't want to lose a player like him.
No,
but at least it gives you an opportunity to get whoever you want to put in that position, or anybody who's going to end up playing more, or someone else who's going to have a bigger impact on the defense, has the opportunity to do it now and be ready to roll when the season starts, rather than having, like, the worst-case scenario is, you know, it happens 2 days before the first game of the season. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, ah, we put all that work in, and now it's all gone for nothing. But, I mean, that's part of the process. And, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to get here to be one of these players. It's hard to be a standout at any level that got you here. And now all of a sudden you put all that hard work in, and, you know, you look at MJ Emerson and how much he was, you know, just loved by this franchise and loved by the fans. And now all of a sudden, oh, man, all that hard work it's gone in a moment's notice. And NFL, that's not only for coaches who only last a couple minutes. It's for players sometimes when it's not for long there either.
Specific football on this, Martin was one of the starting quarterbacks on the outside at the corner spot,
yeah, cool,
with Greg Newsome playing in the slot. And Emerson yesterday before practice talked about bouncing back from what wasn't his best season by his own admission. He said he transformed his body and his mind in the off season, added 6 pounds of muscle, went back to where he's from, Pensacola, Florida, to really work on things. And by all accounts, everybody, Mary Kay Cabot says he appeared rejuvenated and ready to reclaim his status as one of the NFL's premier young corners. And that's great. You know, that's a great mindset to have. He goes out and gets injured. But, Andy, he's a tall corner, bigger corner, mm-hmm, type of guy that in today's NFL against bigger receivers is a vital thing for a defense. That's not Denzel Ward. Doesn't mean Denzel can't cover those guys, but a different body type on MJ Emerson. Now Greg Newsome, by all thinking, will move out of that slot corner spot, move out to the edge. And as we know, Greg, and we talked to Greg earlier in the week, Greg put on a little weight. Greg is a tall, lean, lanky corner. And is he better suited for on the outside? I don't know. They've been playing him on the inside. Well, here's his opportunity, Andy. He has an opportunity now to go out because, like MJ, last year of a contract. So if you're MJ Emerson right now, contractually it's like, uh-oh. Now I'm trying to come back from an Achilles injury. I'm going to have somebody show some faith in me.
Right.
And give me a contract. Maybe sign me up for 1 year on a prove-it deal. Maybe sign me up long-term, whatever. If you're the Browns, you're not going to have to pay top dollar for him.
No.
I hate to say that.
No, you're right.
And if you're Greg Newsome, well, if you're the third corner, basically, and playing in the slot, now you're going to get moved to the outside. where you can show maybe you're the premier corner that, you know, you want to be, that might be a great opportunity for him financially, Andy, to go out and get the kind of contract he really wants.
I'm trying to think. Like in the last 24 hours, the question was, is this the last time we've seen MJ Emerson play for the Browns based on that injury? And then,
I hate to even think that, but you can't eliminate that thought.
The premise, though, that you bring up is, okay, now you're in an injury situation. You're in a comfortable spot where you know everybody around here. You know the trainers, the doctors.
It's Shane Bieber.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And so now, you know, I'm not talking about hometown discount or anything like that, but I would think...
Well,
that
he doesn't have much bargaining power.
No, but you'd want to stay, if he's got the opportunity to come back, I think you'd want to stay where you are based on the rehab to
on
get
the
back
rehab.
To... Because they're going to take care of you, right? It's still a business,
and
if they find somebody
else...
He's
under contract for this year.
Correct.
So, I mean, he's going to rehab here, but what happens in the offseason? You know, does another team jump in and want to have the faith in him to give him a contract? You know, that's... Or... Does it work out with the Browns, and the Browns end up getting a what they think is a good player? Remember, it's a tough injury to come back from, and there's no guarantee that you come back from that injury as the same guy you were before. You can, certainly, and you know, we see it more frequently, but I just think it obviously kills MJ Emerson's negotiating power, and he has to spend a year getting healthy again and then keep his fingers crossed that he gets the kind of deal that he wants. Now under different circumstances, and Greg Newsom has a chance to thrive. You know, Cam Mitchell probably moves into that slot cornerback spot. Okay. Oh, now's your chance. The Browns do have a ton of corners on the roster. They have 10. And now with MJ Emerson out, that makes it 9. Do you bring in corners? Yeah, well, you're always...
Why wouldn't you?
You're always bringing in defensive backs. So opportunity for some corner to step up and get playing time that wasn't there just yesterday before practice.
I hate seeing these guys get injured, especially now, early in camp, because unfortunately the harsh reality of the NFL is, I mean, if you're not out there, you get forgotten really quick. And by week two, if somebody else is stepping up and you've got other guys, now all of a sudden, like, hey, who was that guy we drafted in the third round? Remember him that got hurt in the beginning of the season? I think that's the hardest part about those kind of injuries, and when you're watching a player, you know, in that situation. And the other part is, it brings back all the memories of guys who have been knocked out during training camp throughout the years. And I think about LaCharles Bentley, and I think about guys that got hurt that had their entire seasons taken out or careers taken out during training camp. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's like the worst case scenario. Like, how did your career end, or how did your career take a turn? How was it practice in the beginning of the year during training camp? Like, that makes me sick. Especially when you think about all the hard work these guys put in. That's why.
Well, but that's the reality of it. Now Jim Schwartz has to put together a defense, you know, built around Andy. I would think, at least we thought this going in, it's built around your defensive line and it's built around your corners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are your two spots where you're thinking, okay, That's how we're going to base this thing. And now he's going to have to adjust. Now, if there's a guy who can adjust, I think it's Jim Schwartz. But remember, overall as a defense, they're trying to bounce back from what was an off season compared to the year before. And I'm curious to see, you know, do they make any roster moves? Do you feel a need to go out and make a trade with another team to bring in a corner? You know, we see big-time corners, you know, get moved all the time. Pittsburgh just picked up, you know, Jalen Ramsey. You know, what happens? How does that work? Do the Browns do something? Do they feel a need to do that? Or are they okay with what they have from within? I think we'll find out soon enough. There are plenty of corners. That doesn't mean there are plenty of top-notch NFL corners.
So what do? Do you wait? Do you wait and see how this thing plays out? Because I always think that great time to be able to go out and get another player is right after the cuts, especially the way they change cuts.
Except for
if
one
you
thing.
Think you need to bring somebody else in who might have been some kind of casualty because a rookie came in and took over a spot, and it's a veteran who definitely can play the game, but they didn't want to keep him as a backup, or they wanted to drop the contract off, or you know. So that's why I always think you're constantly looking, but are you looking from within, or are you looking from the outside?
Remember this though about guys that get cut. Why'd they get?
Sometimes it's financial. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest, especially if you have a change. If you have a front office change, guys in the front office that are in first, second year want to move on to their own guys, especially if they drafted. So I do think there are plenty of players that kind of get lost in the mix there at the end of training camp that are good players that could still have a lot of wear on the tires and that they're able to still play.
I think this, though. Most of the time, in my estimation, if a guy actually gets cut at that point, it's a guy that didn't make your team and other teams didn't have an interest in. Because oftentimes...
You would have traded him?
Yeah. Oftentimes you would have traded him, which is why I don't know that this will happen, but I think we should just all pay attention. Maybe Andrew Berry makes a preemptive strike. You know, maybe he's looking at other rosters, which, of course, they do all the time. So they already have that. You know, it's interesting to watch the depth charts that you see GMs of various sports put up in their offices of this is what's on this team and this is, you know, they call it up on their computer. Sometimes they have it just on the wall so they can see it all the time. Maybe he's already pinpointed, you know what, fill in the blank has four corners that they're not going to want to keep all four of those guys at right. the price tag they have right now. And we can go out and maybe make a preemptive strike and get that guy now.
The other thing, too, is...
If they decide that they need reinforcements.
I know you're probably not going to agree with me on this because you're probably going to think, okay, well, it doesn't matter what the guy's like. You always want the best player on the field. But, politics sometimes comes into play, too. And, you know, all it takes is one bad day at practice and you aggravate a coach or something bad happens or you say something under your breath and all, you know, especially if you're not a star player on the team, but you're a very good player and maybe, you know, somewhere a guy who... can play the game, and it just isn't a household name, but is somebody that can still play the game. Although, I guess, if you're a household name, you'd be able to play the game pretty well. But, you know, politics sometimes does play into some of this stuff.
Sometimes that's true.
We just never talk about it because we just always assume that the organization or the franchise is always trying to get the best players out there, no matter what it is. But sometimes politics comes into play. It doesn't matter. It's every team from pros to Little League.
I would agree with that. MJ Emerson out. Greg Newsom, probably opportunity here, even though it comes at the expense of a buddy. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Number to join us, 216-474-0092. Andrew Siciliano, Browns radio play-by-play, joining us in about 25 minutes right here on The Fan. That's fun stuff.
I was just watching. They were just what are they doing? Set up for kick return, I think, is what they were doing there. As we were walking out, it's kind of weird. I know this is kind of a bizarre little topic to have here, but and Siciliano is going to join us here in a second. We were talking about when I got here, it was 80 some degrees. It's way hotter than it is right now. I don't know what the current temp is, but they've got everyone that wears long sleeve shirts out here. I'm like, God.
Well, you're protecting from the sun.
I know, but there's just no way. You'd have to have some kind of great breathable material. I just can't do it. I don't know how these folks wear long-sleeve shirts.
Personally, I'm looking around at all of our media friends. Mm-hmm. I see almost nobody in a hat. I mean, come on, man. What the heck? Well, you got to wear a hat. Come on. There are a lot of ways to kick in this world, and you're hoping that sun cancer isn't one of them. Skin cancer.
I don't know. I mean, maybe someone...
Cover up. Wear sunscreen. Let's go, people.
I don't want to get into this conversation with you because some people have, you know, blockable... foreheads.
Yeah, well, your neck isn't. Your neck's plenty red, my friend.
Oh, man.
Take that any way you want.
You are just...
You got to protect yourself.
You are Dr. Redpen, but you're always looking out.
You got to protect yourself.
Always looking out for the kids. That's Jeff Phelps, making sure that everyone's taken care of.
You're dang straight. Who's not looking out for the kids, Andy?
You?
No, you just said I was.
I know, but now I changed my mind.
Well, one kid's not getting first-team reps. It seems to be rubbing people the wrong way. Shedeur Sanders with Kenny Pickett out so far, not receiving first-team reps. That seems to be an issue for some people. Kevin Stefanski was asked about that in his little morning press gathering this morning. Here's what he
said. Fair to say, because Shedeur hasn't gotten any reps with the ones. I know he's getting some of the twos now. But is it fair to say, as you're trying to get this quarterback situation narrowed down here, as you get deeper into camp, that he hasn't gotten reps now, he probably won't get any?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into specifics on the players and, you know, where they're getting reps and those type of things. He's working extremely hard, like all those guys are. You know, we're still not yet through the installation schedule. We're still just introducing 2-minute yesterday. We'll introduce some different distances today, situationally. So I wouldn't really think much past that.
Okay, could that have been any more nondescript?
Well, what else is he going to say? Like,
he could give you a little bit more, but that's okay. The plan, obviously, right now is to bring Shedeur Sanders along slowly. And I honestly, Andy, I don't have any issues with that. I just don't. And you have a veteran quarterback in Joe Flacco. You have a quarterback who obviously, at least through the draft evaluation process, I'll stop there. I won't give you ammo moving forward. At least through the draft evaluation process, the Browns like Dillon Gabriel more than they did Shedeur Sanders. So he's getting some first team reps. We'll see what they do. If Pickett comes back, then I think it's a moot point. If Pickett doesn't come back anytime soon, then we'll see where that goes. And it would just scream Joe Flacco starts in week one. But
I thought that has been I thought that's the way it's been the whole time, that Flacco is probably going to start week one, that Pickett might either be there or not, or Flacco wouldn't be here at all. I still think we're going three quarterbacks going into camp. I'm not going to change my mind on that unless something drastic happens. Obviously, injury is something that I think you just have to make sure that you're aware of, that's why you have four quarterbacks here in the first place. That's why yesterday they said we're not bringing in another quarterback. Well, why would you bring in another quarterback? You've already got four. You probably need three, and you're only going to dress two on game day. But with Sanders and first-team reps, you said something earlier that made me – and again, I've been somebody that says give Sanders some first-team reps. I'm not saying maybe 5%. I mean, what's it going to hurt? If you're going to fail here. But you said something that I think is always important for any coach or for any team. You want to put someone in the best position
to succeed.
Yeah. So, you know, what happens if you wheel him out here with the ones and all of a sudden Myles Garrett's got him on the ground the first three plays of actually going up against the ones? Now, you're probably going to tell Myles to back off a little bit. And, I mean, look, we heard some of that earlier today in the press conference from Kevin Stefanski. But you do want to put him in the best situation to succeed. And if the coaching staff thinks that, that's all that matters. I could sit here and say, hey, why don't they give him some reps? I listen to phone calls all day long. Why don't you give him some reps? I hear other hosts say, give him some reps. I hear other hosts just scream and say that all the other hosts on the station are all idiots because we're saying that they should get reps. At the end of the day, who cares? It's up to the head coach to take a rookie quarterback and put him in position to be a winner when he has the opportunity. I can't get DTR out of my mind from the Ravens game a couple years ago. He was not ready.
Jimmy Haslam yesterday spoke about the situation. Cool Ray in Bedford. We're going to hear from Jimmy in a second. Hi, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, all right, buddy.
So I'm being honest with you guys. I love you guys to death, but I totally disagree with your last comment. This coach is – y'all get this coach way too much credit to be a great coach. This is a substandard coach at best. He is not given this chance. He is not given Shedeur any chance to succeed, to be the best ever. You can't even do that if you're not giving this guy no chance with
cool,
the first
cool,
team.
They are giving him a chance in practice every day. They see stuff that we don't see.
If you're not giving him the chance to be with the first team, you're not giving this – you're not even trying to see what he – you're not doing that. And I get it. It's what it is. But when we heard Jimmy speak yesterday – now we understand. He didn't even want him on the team. He didn't
I don't know, man. I heard Jimmy say, hang on, I'm going to bring this up real cool, Ray, and I'm not – you'll have your chance to talk here in a second. Jeff, I thought that was the most overblown story of the night last night. We listened to the entire press conference, and I didn't think it was as – I'm trying to think of the words – that it wasn't as – Jimmy Haslam wasn't like, I didn't want to draft him. I didn't want to. Did we listen to something else than the quotes
We're going to hear it again in a second.
Oh, it drives me nuts. Okay, go ahead.
He said he signed off on – he made sure that he signed off on everything else, but he did not sign off on him. So when you take that statement and you go back and you look at what the GM looked like when they picked up Shedeur, man, come on. See, here it is. I know we Cleveland Browns fans, and I know you guys love the Browns, and you guys believe that Haslam and all these guys are great people. But when you take all that in consideration and you look at, oh, my God, like, why don't they just trade this kid for something and let this kid have a career somewhere?
He's a rookie, and he's been in training camp for a week. Give it a little time, man.
I don't hear anybody else talking about fifth-rounders.
Give it a little time.
Is there any other team in the league arguing about a fifth-round quarterback that should be getting first-team reps? We all think I think Shedeur's better than that, but no one else is talking about that.
And hopefully we will see that. And maybe he ends up being the starting quarterback of this team. And if he does, that'd be great. That would be great. Why not? Here's what Jimmy Haslam had to say yesterday when he was asked, you know, was Shedeur Sanders an owner pick or was Shedeur Sanders an organization pick?
Yeah, listen, we have good process, okay? And if you'd have told me, let's see, we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur. Just like who's going to start or what play we're going to call is Kevin's call. But that's Andrew's call. He made the call.
That's the way he answered the question about that. Is it true?
Yep.
Let's go with yes. Okay. If it's true, then it's Andrew Berry's call, and Kevin Stefanski will figure out how to make it work. If it's not true, well, then Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski need to do everything they can to make the owner happy.
That was the most overblown story of the night yesterday. After listening to the press conference in full. I think people just read the quote and they just decided they were going to read into it. Did Jimmy Haslam say he didn't want Shedeur Sanders?
Not as far as I tell.
That wasn't the read I had. And I was watching him online as he was saying this stuff too. His body language never came off as, well, I didn't want him. That quote right there was saying, I let my general manager do his job.
Well, Andy and
I was in the loop on what was going on. He didn't say he didn't want him. And that I think there were a lot of people that were interpreting that quote as, oh, well, the owner didn't want him, so he never has a chance. And by the way, they are going to use that forever. Anybody that wants to make a case the other way, they're going to pretend that what he said yesterday was saying that he didn't want Shedeur Sanders on this team. And that could I in no way, shape, or form thought that's what he said yesterday. If you listen to the press conference in its entirety.
Hey, Jax, get that cut ready again. I want to hear the beginning of it one more time. Because if you listen, he said, if you'd have asked me Saturday if we were going to take Shedeur, the answer, no.
Friday.
Said, yeah. And the thought, and here it is. Listen to the beginning again.
Yeah, listen, we have good process, okay? And if you'd have told me, let's see, we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning.
All right, go ahead and stop it, Jax. Why would you have said that's not happening? Because they had other quarterbacks ranked higher. That's why. Right. And they're probably thinking they're not going to get two. Why would we draft two? Well, you would draft two if a guy that you think has some ability is still sitting there in the fifth round. So they picked him. Remember, Andy, they picked him. And I hate to bring up this reality about it. They picked him after many teams in the NFL passed on him. They thought highly enough about him to draft him and bring him into their organization. It's actually, I think, a good situation for the guy. You know, there are four quarterbacks here. Which one's the best? We don't know. It's not like he got drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
You know what I mean?
They also had the conversation. That's what he told you yesterday in that statement. We had the conversation. When I left the draft on Friday, didn't think we were taking him. And then on Saturday, we regrouped and figured out. And, you know, this goes back to the question that we ask before every draft. Are you drafting for positional need or are you drafting the best player on the board? I think they looked at that as a best player on the board scenario. But to make this sound like Haslam walked in the room and told those guys, I don't want him. That seems so far from the truth, I can't. It was bothering me yesterday when I read it.
A man who calls the play-by-play for the Browns Radio Network is Andrew Siciliano. He's been walking around out here. He just walked past our fan, raised his shirt, which I thought, okay, thanks. Appreciate you blowing that all over us. As he was getting some water, Andrew is going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.